We're in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're coming to the end of 1 John. Slowly but surely. Today we're going to be taking a look at verses 14 through 17. It says this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that we should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So let's take a look at these scriptures, and to kind of help transition us into verse 14, I want to back up and look at verse 13. It says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." And so that verse right there is so key, that we may know that we have eternal life and that we may believe in the name of the Son of God. Because those who believe in the name of the Son of God have eternal life. And we've talked about our covenant relationship with God, going back to the Abrahamic covenant, where God made some astounding promises to Abraham, not based on what he did, not based on his merit, but simply based on his faith, that he believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. An unconditional covenant that he said, "Abraham, I am your best friend now, buddy. And if someone messes with you, they're messing with me. I've got your back." And Jesus established the covenant of blood with us as we enter into covenant with Him. Also a covenant, just like with Abraham, it's a covenant of faith where He says, "You're now my best friend. And if someone messes with you, well, they're messing with me. And I've got your back. And you're my son, you're my daughter. And if you've got something on your heart, you feel free to come to me about it. You're not someone who's outside the household who might have to wait in a long line to talk to me. You're someone who's in the household. And if there's an issue, you just come right to me. You come boldly to me. You come to me with confidence in who you are, that you're a child of God. You're in covenant relationship with me. And I've got you. And I'm not going to let you go. And it's not based on your merit. It's based on my merit. It's based on what I have done for you on the cross. That your sins are washed away. And you are forgiven. And you now have access to me anytime you want. The veil has been torn from the top to the bottom that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. That's what happened when Jesus died on the cross, giving us access to God's presence anytime we want. We can be as close to God as we want, and we can pray to Him anytime. Isn't that incredible? And I think the exhortation this morning is just going to be, let's do it. I mean, we can. Then let's do it. Let's do it in faith of who we are in Christ, in faith that we're a child of God and he loves us. And we can come to him with our petitions. And so you can see how verse 13 saying to us that, well, let's just read it again. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us because of who we are in Christ, because we are his child, because we're in covenant relationship with him. He hears us. He's not turning a deaf ear. He hears us because he loves us and because we're righteous in Jesus Christ. And so we can have access, as we've mentioned. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, there's a key phrase in here to understand the kind of petitions that he will grant us. He does not become the genie in the bottle that you rub and then out comes the genie and grants you wishes, you know, and not just three, but all the wishes I want. And I begin to throw my wishes at God and say, well, God, I wish for this and I wish for that and I wish for popularity and fame and I wish for comfort and I wish for wealth and I wish and I wish and I wish, wish, wish. And now you, God, the genie in the bottle, are going to provide all these things. Where's the relationship in that? Let's not reduce our God down to a demon power that comes out of a genie bottle, right? But instead, God is God, and he's got a will. And remember that Jesus, as we've been saying and talking about, and we know, his will, right? He has a will, and we have a will, and Jesus had his own will, his human will, and he surrendered that will to the Father's will. And that is what God wants for us as well, to surrender to his will, to discover his will, to recognize, God, you're God. You're amazing. You're eternal. You're omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And I'm not. And so, Lord, I recognize and understand that your will is the best will. And so I surrender my will to your will, God. And when I have a prayer or a petition from that attitude and from that heart that is aligned with God's will, it will be done. And we can have confidence in that. And we can pray with faith, not doubting. Amen? Amen. And so I want to talk today about several points regarding petitioning God. Petitioning God. Number one is that we need to recognize and understand and believe in faith that he is able to help. Yes, always. Yeah, and my brother says that because he's seen it in action again and again and again and again. Where God comes through, where God does the impossible, where we pray and we lift things up to the Lord and he does it. And we go, wow, Lord, you're incredible. And it's so fun to watch God answer prayer. It brings joy. And so number one is he is able. One of Christy and my favorite verses in the Bible are life verses, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we would ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He's able. He's more than able. He's exceedingly to do exceedingly abundantly above all we would ask or think. Has he ever blown your mind like that? He has ours. Oh, time and time again, he has done that, where he has just blown our minds. I want to share one testimony of that, where I think I've shared this before, but we were tight on money and we were praying, you know, I didn't know how we were going to make the payments that month. And I was praying and seeking the Lord. And then the Lord gave me a message by Chuck Smith, who was sharing a similar situation in his life. And he said he got a call as he was praying. And the call was, hey, Chuck, I just want to let you know that the check's in the mail. And he got off the phone and he was rejoicing with Kay. Yay, the check's in the mail. The check's in the mail. And God spoke to him and said, well, why are you rejoicing? He said, well, because we got this call saying the check's in the mail. And so that means it's coming. And the Lord's like, well, didn't I tell you even before the call that I would provide for all of your needs? And so, you know, he's rejoicing for this provision. But at the same time, it's like, rejoice even before that with confidence and in faith. And I listened to this and I told Christy, and we were rejoicing. And literally that day, we got a check in the mail. It was a surprise gift from her parents, and it was such a blessing. And we were like, oh, my goodness. And even while I was listening to that, there was a check in the mail, you know. And so God, that's just one of many, many examples. This verse became very powerful to us when we were going through the whole Snowflake's adoption process for our kids and everything. It became our song for them, even when they were in the womb, is we would sing to the womb, you know, this song. And here I go. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Yes, and now you know why I preach. But hey, man, God looks at that and goes, it's a beautiful sound, baby. Because it's sung in faith that he is able. And so if he's able to take care of my problems because I have a covenant relationship with him, he's able to take care of yours too. And to work everything for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Amen? Amen. Let's do that one more time. Amen? Amen. Yes, get vocal, baby. All right. Number two, he's willing and even desirous to help. He's not up there holding back. He wants to pour out blessings. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants what's best for us. He's our heavenly Father. If we ask for a rock, no, why would we ask for a rock? If we ask for bread, he's not going to give us a rock, right? There we go. Got that right. Don't ask for rocks when you're hungry, guys. It says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He delivered up his own son to death for you and for me. And so he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see the logic there? If he didn't hold back his son from you, why is he going to hold back anything else that's good for you? He's not going to. He is willing and he is desirous to answer your prayers, to come to your aid, to help you in time of need. And so, what must we do? Well, we must ask. And we must ask with the right motive. With the right motive. Let's look at a series of scriptures on this. A series of scriptures. If you want to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, we're going to look at several verses from 14, 15, and 16. So hopefully you can quickly turn to these verses as we go through. And I want to let you know how I really found these verses. Of course, as we read the scriptures, we become familiar with what the Bible says and stuff. But we have tools today, modern technology, that is so helpful that people didn't have back in the day. And it allows people like me to come up with things that I otherwise would not have come up with, right? And so I use, and I've mentioned this last week, Blue Letter Bible. And I typed in the words, "In my name." And I got these scripture verses that have that phrase, "In my name," in it. And so the first one, okay, is John chapter 14, verse 13. It says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I will do it. So there's a promise from Jesus Christ that if we ask the Father anything in his name, in the name of Jesus, that he will do it. Oh, sweet. So that Lamborghini I've always wanted. Lord, God, I pray for that Lamborghini in Jesus' name. Did I just pray in Jesus' name? No, I didn't just pray in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name, but I didn't pray in Jesus' name. And so what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? That's the question, right? Does it mean just to throw in that phrase when we want something? Like rubbing the genie? Obviously not. That's not the character of God. And that doesn't align with what we just read in 1 John. That if we ask anything according to his will, you see? And so there's a hint for us there of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Because Jesus was surrendered to the Father. He surrendered his will to the Father. So to pray in Jesus' name means to pray according to the will of the Father like Jesus did. And even more broadly, to pray in Jesus' name means to take on his character. Is this something that Jesus would pray for? Jesus was about the kingdom of God. Jesus prayed for things that advanced the kingdom of God. And to pray in Jesus' name is to say, I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I represent the kingdom of God. I want to advance the kingdom of God. And does having a Lamborghini, does that advance the kingdom of God? Possibly not. In rare circumstances, who knows, maybe? That's between God and whoever. But so often, we're not asking to advance the kingdom of God. We're asking to benefit our own selves so that we can have pleasures and we can satisfy ourselves. And so that is not praying in the name of Jesus. That's praying in the name of James Bove. And I might as well change the phrase at the end. Lord, please give me a Lamborghini, and I pray this in the name of James Bove, because that's what I want, to feed my flesh, right? And so, if you have a Lamborghini and God's blessed you with that, please don't feel guilty today. God bless you. Use it for the kingdom, you know? Go and grab people's attention and share the gospel. And see, there's a good motive right there. And that's one reason why God might give you a Lamborghini. If he really wants you to use that to advance his kingdom, your platform, you're going to the car shows and you're hanging out with other people with nice cars. And you're saying, yeah, praise God. He's so good. He blessed me with this. Do you know Jesus? You see what I'm saying? And so we don't judge people who do have these things, but we've got, God looks at the heart, and that's where I'm getting at today. And if your heart is the character of Jesus, and it's to advance his kingdom, now you're praying in the name of Jesus, and you're praying according to the will of God. I also read another perspective on this, or I just say an addition to this that I really liked, that praying in the name of Jesus is to recognize and understand that we are not asking God according to our own merit or our own righteousness, but we're coming to God in the name of Jesus, in the name of his righteousness, in the name of his merit and what he did. And see, that's when God accepts our petitions, right? When we're not like, I'm coming before you in my own standing, but instead I'm coming before you in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and washed me and cleansed me, and now I'm a part of your family, God, and I'm coming to you with that understanding. Not, you're going to do this for me, God. And he's like, oh, really? Am I? And so that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Let's read some of these scriptures here. John 15, 16 now. So next chapter, verse 16. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Do you see the connection here between asking the Father in the name of Jesus and bearing fruit? Fruit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And so as we are bearing fruit and filled with the love of God, then our will aligns with his will, and we pray in the name of Jesus to advance the kingdom of God, and it will be done, because we're right there with God, man. And he's like, yes, right? All right, so bearing much fruit. John 16, 23. No, I'll scratch that one. That one, when I did my search, I meant to delete that from my notes. Not that it's not a good one, but it requires context. So it doesn't fit with what we're teaching today. 16:24. Oh, look at that. I could have just read both. Let's just read both. Ha ha. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. And maybe that's true of you today. Maybe until now, you have asked nothing in the name of Jesus. All your petitions have been in your own name rather than in the name of Jesus, possibly. Or maybe it's just infrequently that you pray in the name of Jesus. And maybe you pray in the name of Jesus all the time. And God bless you for that. That's awesome. But here's what he says. Until now, you've asked me nothing in my name. He says, ask, and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. When we're asking in the name of Jesus, when we're asking according to his character, when we're asking as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, when we're asking because we're filled with his love, then there's going to be much joy in the asking, and there's going to be much joy in the receiving. And there's going to be much, much joy all around. And this is what I'm talking about when God answers the prayer. Just to see God answer the prayer and go, that's incredible. That was just a move of God. Oh, how it brings us great joy and rejoicing that we were witness of a miracle and that God poured out that miracle for us. Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing. And so our joy is full through prayer and through answered prayer.
All right. Praise the Lord. Aren't those some neat nuggets that we can get just by doing that word search? Take a look at James 4, James chapter 4. Am I the only one sweating, or is anybody else sweating in here? Charles, would you mind turning the air down just a tad? Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. James chapter 4, verse 2. Part B. You can read that whole thing and get a great message there about fights and wars and where they come from and stuff. But here's the heart of it, and it has to do with what we're talking about today. It says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And so God wants us to ask. And in our pride, sometimes we don't ask because we would rather worry and think about it and work it with our brain and come up with our own solution. And oh, how it feels good when we come up with our own solution. I did it. I found the solution. I am man, hear me roar. And God says, hey, why don't you ask me, the creator of the universe? Why don't you talk to me about this? Why don't we spend time together? I can do this. I got this. And he loves it when we do that, when we ask. And so it says here to ask. In verse 3, it says, you ask. And so when you do ask, the people that James is speaking to, and do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And this is why I'm thankful that God does not answer all of my prayers. Because there are prayers that I have prayed that were selfish prayers, that were in the name of James Bove instead of in the name of Jesus Christ. And when I pray those prayers, really, I don't want God to answer those prayers because I have faith that he knows what's best and that if he gives me what I want all the time, like a spoiled child, that it's not going to benefit me. And so I agree with Pastor Chuck when he says, the Lord and I have an unspoken understanding with one another. If I'm asking him for anything that he doesn't want or that isn't good for me, then he's allowed to say no. And that's perfectly fine with me. I love that. And that's the heart, that's the heart that God would have us to have, to be surrendered and go, okay, God, I surrender that to you. But to ask. To ask, you know, there's things in the Bible. There's things in the Bible that he wants us to ask for. And he wants us to ask fervently about. That he wants us to seek him about. And one of those things is, well, you know, before I get to that, there's this little fill in the blank that I wrote in my notes for myself. That might be a good exercise for us to do when we're coming before the Lord with a petition, when there's a request that we have on our hearts and our minds, we might want to say, I want, and then we've got to fill in the blank. And if you want, you can do this right now with me. Think of something in your mind that you want. And of course, because it's the context of this message, you'll start thinking, advance the kingdom, which is really good. But maybe it's something that you've been praying about lately, you know? And so this is your little litmus test for that. I want so that, fill in the blank, I want a Lamborghini so that my friends will think I'm really cool and people's heads will turn and I will be respected in the community and people will look at me and go, whoa, he's got a Lamborghini. Okay, you guys tracking with me? So the answer to the so that is really important. I want a Lamborghini so that I can somehow minister for you, Jesus, so that I can go to those car shows and share the Lord. And if that's the real reason that we're really praying for it, God will honor that. And if it's not, he won't. And you'll go, okay, yeah, I just wanted it for other reasons. I have to be truthful and real, you know? So that's a nice little litmus test that maybe we can do when we're praying for something. Why do I want this? Why? There's something that we did when I was working at a place called Photo Stencil. I was called a lean leader, and you have to try and come down to, I would mostly observe the engineers doing this, but I would help out with this is coming down to root cause, right? They call it root cause analysis. What caused this defect, you know? The laser messed up on our stencil. And then you ask why. It was because it was out of calibration. Oh, okay, great. Solution, calibrate it. Oh, but wait a second. Is that the root cause? Or is it deeper? So why did the laser mess up? Because it was out of calibration. Why was it out of calibration? Oh, because there was something wrong with this such and such a piece. You see, and now we get deeper. So they call it five whys, where you don't just ask one why, because typically that's not going to be the root cause. But ask deeper. Well, why that? Well, why that? And now you're getting closer to heart issues, right? When we apply that spiritually, that there's a root there, a root cause. All right. Next point here. Ask in faith with confidence. Dear Lord, I know I'm a miserable man and I'm a sinner and I'm evil. And, you probably can't even use me because I'm just such a wretch. But, if you want, maybe it'll happen. I don't know. Can I just, go out and witness and share and maybe someone will receive Christ today? God's going, what? Where's the faith in that prayer? No, God wants us to pray with faith in who we are in Christ and confidence in who we are in Christ. Lord, I'm one of your children. Lord, you've called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I come before you a righteous child in your household. And I've got a request. Oh, Heavenly Father God, my child is wayward. My child is a Christian and believes in you and has received you, but my child is not walking with you and is getting into sins that are damaging to him or her. And I come before you right now as one of your children, and I ask in Jesus' name that you would draw them back to yourself, that you would free them from this sin, that you would reveal to them the bondage that they're flirting with. Oh, God, help in Jesus' name. And so, of course, I pray the prayer like that, and yours might sound, a little quieter or whatever, or maybe a little louder and a little more passionate, whatever. But God hears as we come before him in faith with confidence that he is able, more than able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think according to the power that's at work within us. And so we approach him with confidence, and he loves it when we do. It pleases him when we have faith. We're not making demands of him. We're making requests of him. And when these requests align with his will, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we ask, Jesus, draw people to yourself. Let them come to repentance, Lord, in Jesus' name. You see, we have that heart. Do you see the difference between that and God, give me a Lamborghini? It's just different. And we want to advance the kingdom. And when we're doing that and we're praying in faith with confidence, it will be done. 1 John 3:21 that we read earlier in the book, it says, "Beloved, our heart does not condemn us. We have confidence toward God.
And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this comes back to, as believers, we're going to repent of our sin. And we're gonna put that behind us. We're not going to stay there. We're not going to practice sin. But there's a transformative work that's happening in our lives. And so if we're believers, we're children of God, and we can come to him with confidence, and our heart does not condemn us, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says this: "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." We read this a couple weeks ago. "But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can come boldly before the throne of grace, not weakly. Well, weakly, W-E-E-K-L-Y, is good. But the other kind of weakly, God wants us to come boldly before his throne of grace. Boldly. Hallelujah. And it's amazing that we can. And we do it by faith. Not looking at how well did we do this week? Did I read my Bible every day? Did I say my prayers? Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Amen. Oh, cool. I did that 5 times this week. I'm good. God will hear me. That's not what it's saying, right? We come boldly before his throne of grace, despite what the week looked like. We put that behind us. It's confessed. It's forgiven. It's done. It's the past. It's washed in the blood. Jesus is. His blood has cleansed us, and we're standing before God to present our petitions whole and clean and forgiven. And we can, in faith, do that with boldness and not with weakness. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 5. This is an example of a specific thing that the Bible says you can pray for and know that it is God's will, because what you're asking for is God's will. And so in that case, it is absolutely God's will. And you can pray with absolute confidence that it is the will of God. And when you ask for it, you are asking in his name. And so James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach." He's not going to chastise you for asking for wisdom because you lack it. He's not going to say, "You idiot, you don't know what to do in this situation. What's wrong with you? Use your brain. I gave you a brain. Use it." I'm not going to answer that. That's not our God. He has no reproach for us. He just says, "Oh, I've been waiting for you to ask. Thank you for asking. And here you go." He says it will be given to him. If you are lacking wisdom and you ask God, he will give it to you. You just have to ask in faith, believing that what's being said here is absolutely true. He's going to give me wisdom. Hallelujah. He's going to give me the answer. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, I'm so happy he's going to give me wisdom in this circumstance. And I'm just going to wait on you, Lord. I'm going to poke here. I'm going to poke there. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And then boom, oh, there it is. Oh, you did it, God. Once again, you did it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, the process doesn't always look like that, right? One day we're like, "Woo, he's going to give me wisdom." And, "Oh, God, I don't know what to do." And then we come back. We go, wait. What does it say in your scripture? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And you're going to give it. You're going to give it. Hallelujah, Lord. You're going to give it. Praise you, Jesus. And that's how we come against the lies, right? And the worry and the anxiety and the fear, is we come back to truth. And we grab hold of a scripture that counters that fear, that anxiety, that worry. And we begin to quote that scripture. And we go, oh God, I know what to do. What if I make the wrong choice? What if I make the wrong choice? Wait. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And God will give it liberally without reproach. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to make the wrong choice here because I'm seeking you, Lord. And I'm going to do the right thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Confidence in him. Confidence that what he says is true. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow, so we need to ask in faith, believing that what God says is true, believing that if we are praying in the name of Jesus and according to the will of God, it will be done for us. It will be done. Now, the last thing we look at here is 1 John chapter 5. And it says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. Now, a sin leading to death, I believe, is speaking of eternal death, right? There's a second death. There's being cast into the lake of fire. And Christians still commit sins. Check it out. It says in verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. And so Christians, when we commit sin, if we're truly saved, this is not sin that leads to death. Thank you, Jesus. So when I tell that white lie, and I think back on it later, and I'm like, oh man, I told a white lie. Yeah, you're going to hell, man. You are going to hell. No, you're a Christian. And you confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from unrighteousness. You're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And there are loved ones that we have, and perhaps you even, who have fallen into habitual sin. And we need to pray for you if you're that person, and we need to pray for those people, right? You've probably known alcoholics that are Christians and yet they're alcoholics. You might know porn addicts that are Christians and yet they're porn addicts. And God is telling us here, pray for them. Pray for them. And it says, he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. God will deliver them from that and give them life. Because to be in bondage to addictions is walking dead. And it's not living in who we are in Christ and being free. Right? The Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient or helpful. And I will not be brought under the bondage of anything. And so we pray for those brothers and sisters in Christ who are in bondage. And we ask God to free them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And according to the will of God. And God will give them life. Praise you, Jesus. And guys, I hate to say this, but I've seen this. Where for a brother or a sister that never repented of that here in this life, God gave them life by bringing them home. And they died. Drug overdose. Drunk driving, car accident. I've seen God spare people and give them more time and a chance. And then I've seen him take them home to be with him and give them life. And their trial is over. Their effectiveness for the kingdom here on earth was minimal and maybe even damaging in some instances. But in the end, God gave them life. God gave them life. And then he says there is a sin leading to death. And he explains what that is in his gospel, the Gospel of John. He says, he quoted Jesus
And Jesus said, there's only one sin that is unforgivable, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their need for Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And to resist the Holy Spirit means to not receive Jesus Christ and to die in one's sins. And this is a sin that leads to death. He says, I do not say that he should pray about that. Don't pray that God will forgive someone who is a non-Christian, who is not receiving Jesus Christ. Lord, please forgive them. I know that they're, you know, completely rejecting you and trampling underfoot the body of Jesus Christ, but please forgive them. God's going to say, no, I'm not going to forgive them. They need to come to me. They need to receive me as Savior, and then I will forgive them, and they will have life. But I'm not going to forgive somebody who is rejecting me. God will not do that. And so that is not a prayer that we're to pray. But we can pray that they will come to Christ. We can pray that God will open their eyes that they might see. We can pray that he would bind the enemy from blinding their eyes and dry up their pleasure in wickedness. Those are things that we can pray for unbelievers. And that he'll give them a love for the knowledge of the truth, and that they'll come to Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the message today. Lord, again, we don't want to be hearers only of your word, but we want to be doers of the word. And so, Father, we just pray right now. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, according to your heart, for those people that we know, that we love, who are believers in Jesus Christ, and yet they have become carnal Christians, and they've given themselves over to certain addictions. They've believed lies that say you're not powerful enough to bring victory, and you're not powerful enough to deliver. But we know that that's not true. And so we pray in Jesus' name and according to your will, Heavenly Father, that you would bring them life, that you would deliver them from this. And it wouldn't be as a result of the physical death, Lord, but instead you would clean them up in Jesus, that they would be free from the bondage of this sin, Lord, this unrighteousness, God. And we pray for those who don't know you. Lord, we pray that you would draw them to yourself, God, and that they would come to know you, Jesus. So we thank you, Lord God, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, may the Lord just bless you richly this week. May you grow in him. May you grow in your confidence and faith of who you are in Christ. And as a child, you can come to him with all of your petitions. If you have petitions today and you're like, you know what, I haven't been asking, and today is going to be a new day for me, and I'm going to ask for prayer. I'm going to ask for someone to pray with me. Our prayer room's open. Christy and I are available for you up here. If you'd like to come and just pray together, we're here for you. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, please come up and pray with us to receive Christ as Savior, or do it right there where you're at. He listens to you wherever you are. Amen. God bless you guys today.